All right, two passages of Scripture this morning. We'll start in the New Testament, and I want to read a couple of verses out of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, and then we're going to go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus chapter 2. So we'll begin in Hebrews 11. How many of you are fighting spring allergies? You are? Big time? Everybody's saying big time. Is this a bad year for them? I rarely have spring allergies. I sometimes have fall allergies. They told me several years ago, you know, where you take that allergy test, you know what you're allergic to. And I said, do you have one of those little pens for life? I think I'm allergic to life. And he said, no, but you are allergic to goldenrod. Well, goldenrod doesn't show up until the fall. And so sometimes I, you know, will notice little allergy problems with goldenrod. But Thursday, something bloomed that I'm allergic to, and it has just been about to drive me crazy. So if I have a little clearing of the throat that I have to do this morning, please just overlook it, if you will. And other than allergies, everything's fine. But let's begin reading, please. And I want to read two verses to you out of Hebrews 11. And we'll begin reading in verse 23 and read verse 23 and 24. Verse 23 says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. All right, so this is really not about the faith of Moses. This is about the faith of his parents. And we're going to go back and read that story in just a moment out of Exodus 2. But notice verse 22, by faith, Joseph, or 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. You say, well, why did they only hide him 3 months? Well, because they couldn't hide him anymore. You see, at 3 months, you could hear the baby cry. There was no hiding the baby. All right, when he was an infant, they could hide him. They could keep him quiet. But once he got 3 months, they ain't no quieting that thing down. We all know that, don't we? All right, so it says, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. All right, so verse 23 is about the parents of Moses. But now look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, so in other words, when he grew up, when he became a man, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. All right, now let's go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. And let's begin reading in verse 1. It says, and there went, back me down a little bit, Kenny, here. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. All right, now, the house of Levi, by this time there are thousands that are could trace their genealogy back to Levi. So the man is not marrying his sister here, all right? He's marrying a descendant of Levi just as he is a descendant of Levi. Verse 2, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. So we are now reading the story to which the author of the book of Hebrews commended this woman for her great faith. And now we're reading about it. So she saw that he was a goodly child, and she hid him for 3 months. Verse 3, and when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank, the river's brink. Now, what was that? She made a little basket out of the bulrushes, and she pitched it so that it would not sink, so that it would be buoyant. She put the baby in that basket at the river's brink, at the edge of the river where the reeds were. Now, why did she do this? All right, look at verse 4. And his sister, his older sister, stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. So the older sister was in on this plan, and she was watching. Verse 5, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, among the reeds, she sent her maid to fetch it. So they were in southern Egypt, all right, to fetch. You get, all right, you with me? See, aren't you thankful you have a pastor who just knows so much about the Hebrew language that he could determine that? Look at verse 6. And when she had opened it, she saw a child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. The name Moses means drawn out. And she named him Moses because he was drawn out of the water. This is an amazing story, is it not? Now we're going to learn as you continue reading the chapter that this mother's name was Jochebed. And she had faith that God would take care of her little child. Now, using chapter 2 of Exodus and also using Hebrews 11, I want to speak to you this morning a message that I'm going to entitle, The Reward of the Mother. The Reward of the Mother. Let's pray together. Keep your Bibles open. And let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. Now, our Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning. And I pray that now you will bless as the Word of God is preached. Help us, Father, to see the truths and to realize the power of your Word and to realize what is our obligation before the Word of God this morning. Father, I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak. But also pray that you will help every person in this room to have spiritual ears that we may hear, not just with our ears, but with our hearts, the Word of God. Father, stir our souls this morning and give us understanding and draw each one of us closer to you. I especially pray for the mothers in this room. Bless the mothers, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. These verses that I just read for you out of Exodus 2 contain one of the most remarkable stories of divine intervention and the blessings of being a mother that are found anywhere in the scriptures. The evil Pharaoh made an announcement in the previous chapter that all the Jewish Hebrew male children, when they were born, were to be slain. They were to be cast in the Nile River. They were to be slaughtered. Pharaoh thought that the Jews were getting too many in number, and he was afraid that there might be some kind of coup, some kind of takeover. And so to cut the population, he decided that all the male children were to be slain. Jochebed decided that she could not allow her beautiful baby boy to suffer such a horrible fate. So a plan was developed, a plan where this little fellow would be put in a basket, and that basket would be carefully placed among the reeds along the shore of the Nile River, and that the basket would be placed there at the time when the daughter of Pharaoh would come to the river for her daily bath. Now, when the basket was retrieved, inside was a little fellow that just gripped the heart of the princess. Motherly instincts kicked in the moment she looked into that child's face. And she determined that no Egyptian sword would slay her little bundle of joy that she had just found. She took the baby, held it in her arms, and calmed the crying, and then immediately thought to herself, "You will be my baby boy. Those ugly old soldiers won't throw your precious body in the Nile River." And so she decided at that moment, in front of everyone, and let it be known that she was going to adopt this child. Now, I want you to go from the river's edge back across the Nile, and I want you to picture the mud huts along the other side of the river. And in one of those mud huts is the baby's mother, Jochebed. She is over there weeping her eyes out at home. She does not know what has transpired. As far as she knows, she has lost her baby forever. But the baby's older sister was watching the whole scene unfold on the other side of the riverbank where the Pharaoh lived. She probably was a servant of this princess because she boldly said to her, "You're going to need a nurse for this child." And the princess agreed and asked her to find someone who could nurse the child and tend to the needs of the baby. So just imagine the excitement when the daughter came home, running home with the baby in her arms, and walked into that little mud hut where Jochebed was praying and weeping before God and holding little baby Moses out to her. Just imagine the joy that was in her heart. And then imagine the joy as the story was further explained. She probably told her every detail, how she placed the basket at just the right spot, at just the right time. And that the little baby, just on cue, started to cry exactly at the right time. And then she ran over, grabbed the baby out of the reeds, and the princess came running and heard the baby and reached down and picked the baby up. And just on cue, when the princess said, "Hush, little baby," stopped crying just like that. Just like that. And oh, how it melted the heart. And the daughter is telling mom the whole story. And as she tells the story, mother's tears dry away. And then the tears come back, but they're not tears of sadness this time. They're tears of joy. And the daughter says, but mom, wait, it gets better. I said to the princess, don't you want me to find a nurse? And the princess said, yes. So mama, guess who gets to nurse the baby? And mom, it gets better. The princess said, you take the baby, find a nurse, and I will pay the nurse for her trouble. So, mama, we're not only getting our baby back, we're getting welfare checks now. Oh, it's just getting gooder and gooder, isn't it? Can you imagine? And she said, now, mom, they named the baby Moses because he was drawn out of the water. Now, why is this such an important matter? Why is this in the Bible? Folks, it's here for a reason. You see, when the princess decided who should have the training of the child, it was right there that that princess decided what that child would be. It was right there at that moment. Had she chosen to raise him, he would have been an Egyptian. Think of that. Had she chosen to raise him, he would have been an Egyptian. You see, he would have been a heathen in spite of the Hebrew blood that flowed through his veins. Nobody knew it at the time, but this baby was destined to be a genius among men. And it would have been a shame had he grown up and been falsely and wrongly trained by the heathen influence of Egypt. But instead, he was brought back to his mother, his Jewish mother. And mother instilled in him a fear of Jehovah God, and his genius was used in an amazing way to bring the tiny little nation of Israel out of bondage and into the promised land. Now, on this Mother's Day, I want us to look at this God-fearing, faithful mother, and I want us to think of the great way in which God used her. Just notice a couple of things with me from this story. First of all, she saw, get this now, this is real important. She saw herself as this child's only hope for life. You see, there was an edict. The male children had to die. But she was not about to give up her child. In verse 2 and 3, we learn that instead of following the edict of the Pharaoh, she tried to hide her child. And for 3 months, she was able to keep his cries from being heard. But when she could no longer control his crying, she knew that she had to come up with another plan. What I see her doing here, very simply, I see her, and it's by faith, I see her placing her child in God's hands. She is turning this child over to God. She had done what she could do. But the little guys crying in the night could now be heard all over the camp. So what is she going to do about that? Well, she understood that she had run out of options. So what she does is she understood that God is in complete control, and she left him in God's care. And you see, that proved to be the exact, perfect, and right thing to do. Every mother has the highest of hopes and aspirations for her children. But how many mothers believe that God can do a better job with them than even you can do? You see, that's what Jochebed believed. She believed that God could take care of him. She had done all she could do. She saw her baby boy as ultimately being in God's hands. She believed that it was to God, not to the Egyptian princess, that she was to account for in the end for the way in which that boy was trained and raised. She knew that she was going to have to just trust in God and let God take care of her boy. Let me say it to you this way. I feel confident that she believed that she was her son's minister, servant. She saw herself as chosen of God for the task of preparing her son for the job that God would have for him in his life. And notice, when God had plans for Moses, it was his mother that he selected to choose to make it for him to recognize those plans. She gave the child to God, and then God gave the child back to her. God chose Mama to raise that child. God did not commit him to anybody else but his mother. Does that not show us how important is the mother's influence on her child? God did not put him in the care of some heathen Egyptian. He did not place him under the watchful eye of some Egyptian hired servant. No, when God wants to train a child for the achieving of the best and of the highest, he sends that child to the school of a godly mother. I think the highest calling in the world is the calling of mom. Mom. And I would love to see every mother view herself as Jochebed viewed her son, as his only chance to make it in this world. I wish every mother would see herself the way Jochebed saw herself. You see, just as an enemy was out to destroy Moses, I'm here today to tell you that an enemy is out to destroy your child. Just as there was an evil king in Egypt who was out to destroy Moses, there is an evil king today who rules as the prince and power of the air, the devil, and he is out to destroy the heart of your children. But oh, that every mother had the same heartbeat as this godly woman, Jochebed, who would say, I am not going to put him in the hands of anybody but God. I'm going to put my child in God's hands and trust that God will take care of him and use him. Oh, mom, listen, lose yourself in your kids. Lose yourself in your kids. You see, they're the only thing that you can take with you to heaven. You can't take your car. You can't take your money. You can't take your beauty. But you can take your children. Second thing I want you to see. We see in this text, Jochebed was a woman of great faith. Great faith. In Hebrews 11, we are told that Moses was hidden by faith. She hid the baby by faith. Hid him. She could hide him no more, so she took a basket and she placed his little body inside it and placed that basket in the bulrushes at just the perfect time when she knew that the princess was coming down to the water. And make no mistake about it, her great faith influenced her son. It influenced her, or influenced him. Make no mistake about that. When Moses grew up, he knew God because his parents knew God, and they taught him to fear God as they did. Let me tell you something, folks. It is your responsibility. And Mom, there is not a greater teacher anywhere in the world. But it is our responsibility as parents to train our children, to teach your children to love the God of heaven and to obey His word. The world is teaching them to deny God. Our world today is teaching our children to deny truth and to reject God's truth. We today are raising a generation of young people, and now we're a couple generations into it. Folks, it started back years ago, but you remember back in the 60s when they took this out of the public school system. Now look at what we've got. Man, that's worked out well, hadn't it? They took God out of the schools. Folks, listen, this is the evil king's intent all along, is to get God out of our society. Get the Bible out. Now we've raised a couple of generations. Man, I remember going to the first grade and Mrs. Hoon taking a Bible and reading out of that Bible. I remember sitting there and her taking prayer requests and writing them on the blackboard. And I remember her bowing her head as we all stood and she prayed and got a hold of the horns of the altar and taught us that the Bible is the Word of God and we better respect it. Then I went back to school in the third grade, and that all ended. It was done. Now you can't do that anymore. The world is now teaching them to deny God. I remember going into the eighth grade science class, and Mrs. Morris, first week of school, she had a Bible on her desk. She was the science teacher, and she said, held up that Bible with one hand and held up the textbook with the other, and she said, I have been instructed that I am to use this book, and I'm to teach you the Big Bang Theory, and I'm to teach you that we all came through the process of evolution. She said, and I suppose I have to do that or I'll lose my job. But she laid that down, picked up the Bible, and she said, and while I teach it, please understand, I do not believe a word that I'm saying. This is what I believe. Well, you can't do that anymore. The world is teaching our children and our people today to deny God and to reject God's truth. We have a generation a couple of generations of people who have been raised without biblical understanding. You know what we are today in America, folks? You ready? Oh, it's going to tick some of you off. But get ready to get ticked. We are biblically ignorant. Amen and amen. Biblical ignorance. And boy, that's a shame, because when you read this Bible, what it says is that one of these days, the books will be opened. And we're going to have to give an account to God for everything that is written in the book. What a shame when we don't have a clue right now. And we are seeing today teenagers. We're seeing today 20-somethings and 30-somethings and 40-somethings, because it goes all the way back to the mid-60s when this started, when they removed God. And we are now seeing an America that is filled with young people who have no problem with gay marriage and destroying the definition of marriage. And folks, that's coming up in just a month and a half. The Supreme Court is going to rule about the definition of marriage. And isn't it ironic? We have a Bible here that tells us what marriage is. This is where we learned what marriage is. In the Bible, it is ordained of God. And now you got a bunch of men down here and women who are going to change the definition of marriage. You know what they're saying? They're saying, here, you get under there and you be good. Now, don't you come out unless we call for you, and we're not calling for you. We're going to do this ourselves. And you know what we're doing, folks? We are inviting the wrath and the judgment of the God that gave us the rules. You remember when you were a child and your dad said, I want that grass mowed. My dad would tell me on Sunday night, I want that grass mowed, son. Yes, sir. He worked out of town. I knew he would not be back until Friday at 5:30. Many of Friday afternoon, I was out there mowing that grass with a push mower. But I got it done every time. Why? Because I didn't violate the rule. I knew the rule. Well, I want to serve notice on you, folks. God gave some rules. And in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You say, well, I don't see why it's got to be such a big deal. It's a big deal because God said it's a big deal. Don't go changing the rules. We're raising a generation that has no problem with abortion on demand, no problem with pornography, no problem with promiscuity, no problem with drinking liquor. What is wrong with us? I'll tell you what's wrong with us. We have shoved this in the drawer. And we're raising a generation who could care less what God thinks. How many of you lived through the 60s? Raise your hand. You remember that tumult? Man, I do. I remember it because I was one. I was that 1968 hippie right up here between my ears. But I got saved. I got saved. I trusted Christ as my Savior. And when I did, my hippieism went out the door. But you remember what, you remember their mantra? You remember what they were all about? Well, here's the sad part. They're now running the country. Those nuts are now running the country. We better get back to God. I mean, even if they would never do some of these things, our world is teaching our young people that if others want to do it, it's their business. And none of us should ever condemn someone else's choices. Well, excuse me, but God has some black and white. My Bible says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. The world is training them the wrong way. God says we're to train them the right way. Primetime television and Hollywood and all the rest, they're teaching the immorality that is destroying the moral fabric of our country. And they look at it, the more the merrier. And if you don't train them in the way of truth, you can be assured the world is going to train them in the way of the world. So your faith needs to be their faith. That's the point. One more thing and I'll be done. I want you to notice, lastly, Jochebed's reward. Jochebed's reward. Look at a mother's reward. Oh, it was amazing how God divinely worked this out for His glory. Look at verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 9. Jochebed was paid wages for raising her own child. She got paid by the princess to nurse her own baby. Amazing. But do you think these wages were all the pay this mother received? Not even close. I will guarantee you the wages she received were nothing compared to the benefits of being with her son every day. Folks, she got to watch him take his first step. She got to hear his first word, which was dada. We all know they all say dada first. She got to hear that. She got to watch him develop and learn and love. She got to see it all. I'm saying, folks, that there is no greater benefit than being a loving mother and being a mother loved. No greater benefit. None at all. Her greatest reward, well, she got her child back. And not only that, look at this. She got to see him grow into a man of faith that God used. Now, I'm not going to take the time to take you back to Hebrews 11, but in verse 23, there was Jochebed's faith. But then in the next verse, in verse 24, we see what every godly mother hopes to see out of her children. We see Moses' faith. Her reward for faith was to see him grow into a man of faith. And where did he get that teaching? He got it from his mother. He saw it in her life. It radiated out of her eyes. It spoke to him from her lips. And he drank from it as he lay in her arms. So this despised slave woman has this great credit to her name. She mothered and she raised one of the greatest men who has ever put 2 feet on this planet. What a woman. She took a little Jewish baby boy, given an Egyptian name, and she raised him for the glory of God. Now let me close with this. Let's imagine. Let's use our imagination this morning. Can you imagine? Little Moses is about 10 years old. And unlike his fellow Jewish brethren, he's in the palace of Pharaoh one night. But unlike his Jewish brethren, his mama is also in the palace. And she's getting her little boy ready to go to sleep. And while she's tucking him in to bed, Moses looks at his mother and says, "Mama, tell me again how you trusted God and how He got us to live in this palace." And she says, "Honey, I've told you that story every night this week. I know, Mom, but I just like to hear it." And she smiles and she says, "Well, honey, listen, I don't ever get tired of telling. So let me just tell it to you once again." And once again, she tells the story about her mighty act of faith, not realizing that while telling the story of her faith, She is creating faith in her own son. She is creating a faith that would one day be called of God. And because of her faith, has now become his faith. When God called, Moses answered. And God said, what do you want me to do? And God said to Moses, I want you to go stand in the face of Pharaoh. And I want you to say, let my people go. You go stand in Pharaoh's face and say, let my people go. That's Moses. Folks, you talk about an act of faith. That took faith. Not only that, once Pharaoh let him go, here they are marching out to the Red Sea, and they get to the sea and they look across. They look north, can't go that way. They look south, can't go that way. They look behind them, here comes the Egyptian army. So Moses, the man of faith, goes, okay, God, what do we do now? God said, see that staff you got in your hand? Yes, sir. Stick it in the water. Really? Seriously? Yeah, put it in the water. Okay. And when he did, the waters parted. Where did he learn to act on that faith? I'll guarantee he learned it at Mama's side. Tell me the story again, Mom. Tell me the story again, Mom. Tell me the story again, Mom. She probably told it until she was blue in the face. But her faith created faith in him. And the rest of the book of Exodus is all about the great story of Moses. But it all started with a mother's great faith in God. Would you look in to the face of your children right now in your mind's eye? And would you determine to be a mother of faith like Jochebed? Who knows what God might do with the little drawn out one, the little Moses that he has given to you?